This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to Gillette Stadium on this Friday, October 30th. I'm Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, joined by my esteemed editor, Paul Perillo. Andy Hart, taking the day off.
As he's wont to do.
As he is with an O.
Wants with an O.
And, Paul, I'm still in a little bit of hangover mode from London. It's been a great trip. We want to apologize to our fans for not having been able to do a podcast last week before our trip, so this is the first time in a couple of weeks that we've been able to bring you a Roster Report podcast. And some things have happened in that time. We had some business to take care of in London. The Patriots took care of their business in London, winning 35-7 over the Buccaneers. But before they did that, they made a couple of roster moves. A couple of people didn't make the trip, Paul. Wide receiver Joey Galloway and tight end Michael Matthews, both of whom were released on October 20th. Prior to the team's trip to London.
They may have made a trip, but they didn't make the trip.
They didn't make our trip. That's right. And to fill their spots on the active roster, they activated from PUP Mark LaVar, offensive lineman, and rookie wide receiver Brandon Tate, who both of those guys sort of got thrown into the mix at the earliest possible moment that they could. They had to wait the requisite 6 weeks into the season before having a chance even to be activated. And at that first chance, the Patriots had two roster spots open at positions where depth was needed, thanks to injuries and moves that they had made. So Tate and LaVar get activated and actually played and contributed in the Tampa game.
Yeah, and I think they were not, given the injuries, I think if you had said before the season if Brandon Tate would be activated as soon as he possibly could have, I would have probably said no. But when you look at the situation that's developed at wide receiver, Galloway, you mentioned, didn't pan out. He's gone. Julian Edelman was doing a decent job. He's out with a broken arm. It kind of leaves you a little bit thin at wide receiver. So I think you needed his services. LaVar is a guy I think that we all thought he's your swing tackle. Along with Vollmer and with Matt Light out, you only had two tackles there for that Tennessee game, so that made a lot of sense to get him activated as soon as possible. And you're right, they both suited up and were part of the game plan in the first game that they could be against Tampa Bay.
And a little surprising, not only that Tate was active and contributed, but he got quite a few reps out on the field. He's a pretty good player.
You know, he might not be the most well-known guy on the 53-man roster, but last year when he filled in for Nick Kazier for a couple of games, I want to say he filled in San Diego when Kazier went down and then played the next couple of games. That was kind of the time when the offense kind of got its act together under Matt Castle. I think the Denver game, coming home to the Monday night game, was shortly after that. And he played reasonably well. Again, when you're an offensive lineman and you're not getting noticed a lot, that's a good sign for an offensive lineman. So we saw Vollmer do some really good things. We saw him struggle a little bit with penalties, too. So it's nice to have a veteran, in LaVar who's there in case Vollmer doesn't work out. And if Matt Light's situation with his knee ends up being a little bit more serious and he's out long-term instead of short-term.
Right. And with Matthews' release now, the active roster for the Patriots only has two tight ends, Chris Baker, Benjamin Watson. They have a guy in the practice squad and rookie Robbie Anyon or Agnon or however he pronounces it.
However you want to pronounce it.
So there are three players in the mix there, but only two who are active on game days. Do you see any further moves at that position, Paul? Do you think they're all set with what they have?
I probably don't, although I will. I just want to throw this out there for whatever it's worth, and it may absolutely be worth zero. But Matthew's locker is still kind of
intact.
In play. Yeah, it's intact. His stuff is there. Not his I don't see much in the way of personal belongings, but his practice stuff is there. His nameplate is still over the locker. Joey Galloway, who's not coming back, we can all agree on that.
Right.
None of the stuff, nothing is in his locker.
Right. That's totally
just
cleaned
as,
out.
And I use that as the point of comparison because they were released the same day, and one guy looks like was never there. The other guy looks like he was there about 20 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
The other locker looks like the guy was there 20 minutes ago. So I don't know if that means that possibly they could bring him back. But I do think with the flexibility they have with their offensive linemen, we've seen Dan Connolly line up at fullback at times. We've seen LaVar line up as an extra tight end now, the way we've seen Russ Hochstein do periodically in the past. So I think they have some flexibility with their offensive linemen to serve as extra blockers. Now, whether they want to incorporate one of these guys as a pass catcher, I don't know. You know, we saw them fool around with Matt Light a little bit with that in practice at times. Matt joked about not expecting ever to see the ball thrown in his direction during a game, and Brady had a funny line about Conley, if Conley ever asked to get the ball in one of those situations.
I don't think I heard that one.
Yeah, I guess someone said, has Conley lobbied to get the football, and Brady just said, nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
We have the bye week this week, Paul.
We do.
No games, which means players have a few days off maybe to get some rest, clear their head, not think about football for a while, spend a little time with the family. But as far as a football standpoint goes, the most important aspect of this bye week is the getting healthy part. A number of Patriots are injured, haven't played, or got nicked up in the last couple of games. Are you looking to possibly, when we come back from the bye against Miami in Week 9, potentially the return of any of these guys? Is Light in play? Sammy Morris, do you think any of these guys?
I think Light is in play. I don't have anything to necessarily base that on specifically, but I will say that, you know, when watching him move around, it doesn't seem to be, you know, a two-month injury. You know, it looks closer to the, you know, the one-month situation, and now you're going to be going on 3 weeks out, you know, when we're ready to play Miami. He missed two games plus the bye week, so that's 3 weeks to recover. I think he's got a shot. Fred Taylor, I think, is long-term. I think that he's, you know, depending on how the health goes on the roster the remainder of the way, there's a possibility still I think you could see him wind up on IR. You know, if they were to be hit with more injuries and they need roster spots, they can't afford to have a guy that they know isn't going to play for another month or two, you know, in his case. Morris, I'm not sure about his injury. I don't really know a whole lot about it. You know, we saw him in that play against Tennessee, went down. I think he caught a pass, a short pass over the middle, went down, and we haven't seen him really around the locker room since. So if you're asking me which guy I think is closest, I would go with Matt Light.
Probably Light, yeah. And we've seen, like you said, we've seen him here and there, not really all that often. But when we have seen him, he didn't seem to be as limited as you might have expected, seeing how he got carried off the field.
And it is dangerous, and we do it all the time, Andy and you and me. We all do the eyeball test in the locker room, but that's really all we have to go on because we don't really have any definitive announcements that are going to be forthcoming from the team. So we have seen a little bit of Matt Light. We haven't really seen much of Sammy Morris or Fred Taylor, and even Julian Edelman now with the arm, you know, since the reported broken arm.
Right. I was just going to mention his name because the depth at wide receiver is still an issue, even though they've activated Tate, and he's, you know, getting some action already. It's still a position where there's some question marks as we head forward, and God forbid anything happens to one of the top two guys. You're really looking at a bit of a crisis at that position. Are you surprised at all that as we enter this halfway point of the season, that there are still only two quarterbacks on the active roster?
A little bit, and I don't think that it will stay that way all year. I remember a couple years back, more than a couple now probably, but you know, when Matt Castle was a very young guy, maybe in his second year, he was the backup, and it was just he and Brady on the roster for about 10,
November.
12 weeks, and then they signed Vinny, I want to say,
yep.
Just to get another guy in there. The difference now is they do have a third guy in the system.
Isaiah Stanback.
And Isaiah Stanback. And Bill's flat out said he is the third quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not on the active roster. So if you would have had the disaster of, you know, losing two guys in a game, you'd be hard-pressed to, you know, to go about doing anything offensively. But I would be surprised if they go the entire 16 games with only two quarterbacks on the roster.
Well, and that segues us into a couple of announcements that were made by the NFL in the last couple of weeks, and that focusing on New England's quarterback position. Tom Brady, following his ridiculous performance in the 59-0 win over the Titans, was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's right, Tom. For the second time this season, he's won that award. The other time was the Week 1 win over Buffalo, where he threw the two touchdowns at the end of the game to win it. Then following the Tampa game in London, Brandon Merriweather was named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And shortly thereafter, Tom Brady was named AFC Offensive Player of the Month for the month of October. So anybody who had any lingering doubts about Tom Brady's knee and his performance and any jitters and rust, I think he's doing pretty well, Paul.
I think they're probably past us.
I think so.
At this point, you know, and he was a little bit off target, you know, for the most part over the first month. But I think we've seen him grow more and more comfortable, and not surprising, not coincidentally, it's when Moss and Welker have been able to be out there together doing their thing.
Right. And quick note before we let you all go, get your costumes ready for trick-or-treating tomorrow night. Top 10 moments in Patriots history, as selected by you, the fans. Number 10 was announced last week, and tonight on Patriots All Access, you'll find out number 9.
Number 9.
That's right, Paul. So check that out, and if you can't tune into the show. Now, 8's next week, Bill. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Bill,
one week at a time.
You, more than anyone else, should know enough to take him one at a time.
Yeah.
Come on.
It is what it is.
And it is number 9 this week. So, and if you miss the show, you can look for it online on Patriots.com. It'll be available this weekend. All right. Bill's in a hurry to get his costume, I guess. He's got to take the kids out trick-or-treating. So that'll do it for us. Paul, what are you dressing up as this weekend?
Sports writer.
Oh, really? A sports writer on holiday?
He's going as Andy Hart.
Oh, you're going to get a big head costume?
Andy Hart? Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, be safe, everybody. Have fun, and we'll see you next week on the Roster Report.